More recently than that, in the last few decades, and it seems ever increasingly, we have a strong economic bond and reliance on China. So how does Australia address the tricky dynamics of national interest when seemingly our two biggest international partners don't get along all that well? Recently, Chinese actions in Hong Kong, South China Sea, among other regions, were condemned by the Morrison government, resulting in some pretty scathing response from the Chinese embassy in Australia. To give a little more insight is Professor James Lawrenson of the Australian-Chinese Relationship Institute here in Sydney. James, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Jared.
There are big questions coming up. It's a big issue. And if I'm totally honest, obviously, I have no expertise in the issue, so I'm hoping that you do. It's undeniable Australia's relationship with China seems to be in somewhat of a fragile state, with increasingly kind of shrill denunciations of Australia by Chinese officials recently. What impact could this have, I guess, in the immediate and equally more distant future?
Yeah, Jared, I think it's first of all important to get clear on the extent of the problem at the moment.
Please
do. You're certainly right. I mean, at a political level, at an official level, diplomatic level, things are tense and they've gotten worse this year. Mm-hmm. But it's not just this year. I mean, we haven't had an Australian Prime Minister been invited to visit China since 2016. So there's that story, and that's the one we concentrate on, and you most often see the headlines gravitating towards. But on the other hand, there's a whole lot of Australia-China engagement that doesn't involve government to government. It's households, Australian and Chinese households and businesses getting on with trading with each other, visiting with each other, touring, buying products and services from each other. Now, in fact, when you look at those economic ties, two-way trade between Australia and China has, in fact, never been greater than now.
Right.
So that's the good news. Despite the official tensions, both governments have had the good sense to let the non-official actors in the bilateral relationship get on with the job.
I see. There has been recently tariffs, I guess, put on Australian barley and some Chinese areas refusing meat from some abattoirs. Is this an example of that? Like, when can, I guess, what's happening on an official level, on a political level, start to filter down into those, I guess, trading and, kind of, I guess, independent to politically based relationships?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. They're two good examples of a trend we don't want to see continue because so far we haven't had a lot of those spillovers. And even on those points, though, I mean, you know, it's important we acknowledge that they are a worry and we don't want to see things go in that direction. But on barley, you know, before the tariffs were put in place, we exported $350 million worth of barley to China. I'm not saying that's trivial at all, but our exports to China last year in total were $170 billion, right? So we need to keep these things in perspective. While four meat processing facilities had their certification removed, those responsible for about 80% of Australia's beef exports to China continues to stay in the game. So I mean, let's keep with the facts and evidence and not get drawn down some path that's a bit more emotive and stretched away from those facts and evidence.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Historically, if we've aligned ourselves with the US, and Scott Morrison even echoing the importance of this alliance earlier this week, however, it's clear that we must also attempt to ease the current strain then as a result between ourselves and China, and maybe not look at headlines and maybe look at the actual figures. How best can Australia operate? Because it seemingly might see like it might enter like the defence, and I guess more, I don't want to use the words not violent measures, but is political tension potentially going to get to that point?
Well, that's our choice, Jared, and I actually think, on the whole, the Morrison government is doing a pretty good job of handling China relations. You're right, it's made it very clear that it sees the United States alliance as being a very important part, the backbone of Australian security. But look, just last week, we had our foreign minister and our defence minister in Washington meeting senior members of the Trump administration, and they made it clear in press conferences standing right next to them that we were going to make our own decisions when it comes to China. So look, sometimes Australian and American interests on issues connected to China will align, but sometimes they won't. And so we won't automatically follow the Americans. The Americans, for example, they like running what they call freedom of navigation patrols in the South China Sea, right up alongside Chinese claimed territory. The Australian government says has been, you know, the Americans have encouraged us to do likewise for years. Every time, even now, we continue to say, no thanks, that's not in our interests. So I think that's the way we handle those tricky issues between the two superpowers.
So what about the, I guess, the release pretty recently that there's a top secret defense cooperation framework to counter Chinese military aggression, specifically in the South China Sea, that Australia might get involved in. Like, I know you just said that maybe it's not seemingly as kind of tense as it might put across, but it looks like, as far as we're concerned, that we might start to get involved.
Well, there's nothing wrong with us working more closely with the United States in defence and military issues if we consider that to be in our interests. I mean, that's what sovereignty is all about. China can hardly object to that. China makes decisions about its economic and defence interests all the time. So, you know, but at the same time we're aligning with the United States in those particular areas, we're also telling China that we have, you know, our Foreign Minister Maurice Payne made it very clear standing next to US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, that we had no intention of injuring the China relationship. No surprise there. In June, the most recent month for which trade data is available, 46% of Australia's goods exports went to China. So this is an important relationship for us, and we're not going to sell off one just to make the other one happy.
Gotcha. How then do you position, I guess, the Chinese embassy's response, saying, well, I guess, not to quote, but essentially saying, Hong Kong, which Australia had condemned, I guess, China's involvement in Hong Kong, is saying Hong Kong affairs are Chinese affairs. How do you then think of that in terms of an Australian perspective? What do you read into it?
Look, I read the statement from the Chinese embassy and I thought it was pretty formulaic. I didn't think it got, you know, as I've seen more excitable comments come from Chinese diplomats before.
Gotcha.
China, of course, is very quick to say that Hong Kong is part of its territory, and the Australian government doesn't disagree with that. But what the Australian government also says is that Australia has interests in Hong Kong, not least of all a large Australian diaspora, Australian businesses, and we also have an interest in international law applying. And so when mainland China makes decisions that affect all of those Australian interests, then I think the Australian government is right to speak up about that. Now, I think, you know, the Chinese government characterising that as Australia interfering in Chinese sovereignty, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Okay. So essentially what we might take from it is that Australia does rely on trade with China pretty heavily. It looks like, as you said, that's pretty much stronger than ever. So in terms of diplomatic issues, it might just be a little bit of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, look, I don't want to trivialise it.
Nor do I should say.
And, you know, there are examples of China using trade as a tool of punishment for other countries in the past. But even in those cases, when you study the data, and I keep coming back to the data, the facts and evidence, you've never seen China blowing up an entire trade relationship with a country because it has a political dispute with it. Often the tactics they use will be very targeted, often short-term, more designed to send a signal, make a point, rather than to sabotage the entire relationship.